So we have been taking some time to look at some prevailing signs of pride. And we will just continue a bit on a number of the prevailing signs of pride. In Proverbs chapter 6, 16 to 19, these are six things the Lord hates. Here, seven is an abomination to him. And on the first of them all, is a proud look, lofty eyes, right? You know, it's to also in a way be high-minded. So there are exaggerated opinions about one's strength or one's abilities. And we mostly find out that if we do not look out for it, they grow quietly. I mean, these traits grow very quietly. Right? Before you realize, you are already having them in your life. And it now takes the word of God, you know, which is that lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, to shine its brightness on our frailties or our weaknesses, and then we get to say, oh, this is what Pastor was saying. Yeah. And one of the things I want to encourage you, once you get to realize that what Pastor is saying, this is it in my life, you don't beat yourself, right? You don't become so disappointed and so broken. No, you take note of it and you change it. Right? So you're able to take note of it and you say, ah, that's what Pastor was saying. Then you change it. Now, changing might not be instantaneous, but it just might take a while. Right? So there are certain times where, you see, everybody has something that they become proud at. And that is what you must break off so that you can have a very wholesome, humble life. Yes. Some people, when I was talking about, you know, living a very base life, they don't have a problem with it. But when I say, I want you to do it this way and be corrected, you see that they take offense. You see, so they might be proud in certain areas and yet still humble in certain areas. So yes, it can happen that you have, you know, a mixture of pride in certain areas and humility in certain areas. So some people will not mind saying, having me tell them that, you know, you should live a base life. I mean, they don't have a problem with that. But the moment I say, be corrected, and I shout at you, then your tentacles are rising. You see that? So now, we all will not be proud in all areas. Now, some are just too proud that they are proud in many other areas. But the goal is to ensure that at every area of our life, and as everything touching pride, we cut it off from our life. We get it out of our hearts. Some of us might not have a problem with being told to live a base life, might not also have a problem with, you know, corrections. You see that? But it might get to a point, and many times we want to be the center of attraction. So you see that they are okay with every other thing, except that they now want to be spotted and they now want to be seen as the center of attraction. So we are not all proud in all areas. We are proud in some areas. Yeah. Someone might not have a problem telling them to do a menial job, like a job that is little. But the moment you pass and you don't greet them, they are offended. It's like they get up. So you now have to pay attention. That's why I try to flip the coin in so many different ways, so that everybody can have a picture of what exactly it is their problem is, so that they will get it out of their lives. Right? So number four, pride does not like to be corrected. When you see anyone that is proud, they don't like to be corrected. In fact, they cannot be wrong. No matter how wrong they are. So, how do you react when you're faced with correction or some kind of guidance? So, when somebody wants to correct you, or when somebody wants to guide you in something, what is your immediate reaction or your immediate response? Do you suddenly become argumentative or defensive? Oh, no. There's a reason why I did this. Listen to me. There's a reason why I did. Then you see that the person has some kind of pride. So there's always, a defense. They can't just allow it slip. They have to defend why. Like every time, they are lawyers of whatever they've done. They're always right. And they always have a cause to justify whatever reason they did, whatever they've done. They can't say, I did not know, or I agree, I'm wrong, when they're faced with a certain kind of a correction. So you see, when you don't want to be corrected, even by your parents, it can show a certain kind of pride. Yeah. Your parents are trying to correct you, and you're trying to tell them that they don't know what they are about. No, don't do that. Even if you don't agree, listen in all humility, yet keep what you have in your head in your head. That's what Kenneth Hagin says. He says anytime he sat with elder ministers and they had a chat or discussion and they said certain things, even when he didn't agree, he was quiet, yet he disagreed in his mind. Right? So you don't always have to be correct. And to love not to be corrected means that you are harboring some kind of pride. You are harboring some kind of pride. And you must be very careful. Because God is going to start resisting you, and you cannot get to the level you should get to. Nobody likes an associate or a work partner that cannot be corrected. So sometimes, in fact, many times, learn to listen keenly to the corrections people make or to the corrections people give you. Learn to listen keenly. And when you listen, don't be stupid. Listen, I'll show you how you can be. Is that you think they don't like you. Yeah. Sometimes the corrections that come are corrections that can save your life. Many times, I have a way of knowing point blank that I don't think there's anybody that does not like me. Flipping the coin to the other side, I also know very well that there are people that might not like me, or might not like what I do, and I'm not happy with what I'm doing. And I've been praying that what I'm doing will not stand at all. But when corrections come in, it is wrong to have a perception right? It is wrong to have a perception that the people that correct you don't like you, especially when the people have watched you grow over time and have watched you develop over time. So if someone like, for example, my pastor, you know, calls me and says that, I've noticed this. Osofo, I've noticed this. So I want you to. That's not the time for me to say, Pastor, please, the reason why, that's not the thing. That's not the thing. One of the things my pastor has been telling me many times, is that you are God's prophet. Always tell the truth. You are God's prophet. Always tell the truth. Don't be afraid of anyone. Don't be afraid of anyone. Always tell the truth. Always say the truth. One time, I remember, I told him, Pastor, please, I'll be meeting you at 8. I'll be meeting you at 8 p.m. And he says, okay, 8 p.m., I'm going to be at my office. You can come. Then, people are coming to visit me. Then I sit there with the people because they had come from afar. I look after them. Let's say I leave my house by 9. I arrived there by 9:20. And the moment I get into his office, he looks at me straight in the eye. And he said you will be here by 8. And I said, yes, please. Pastor, please, when I was coming, somebody came to visit me. So I thought I would delay. And he told me something. He said, whether it's rain or it's shine, stick to your word. I could have had excuse. I could have said, you know, yes, please, Pastor, but there were people that kept on coming. No, I took that as though there was nobody there, and I took that as though I was the entire cause of my coming in there, the time I wasn't supposed to come in. Yeah, I just swallowed it like that. There was nothing. I never had to, you know, try to justify the reason. Even though I had to apologize and then probably let him know why I was there. But I took it and I told him that, yes, please, I've heard what you said to me. And I've done this and this and this and that. So how do you receive corrections? And it was through my pastor, I learned how. He said, when you say you want to do something like this, do it like this. He told me, he said, if I say call me at 3 a.m., call me at 3 a.m. Yeah, there was a time when I was coming back. I told you. He said, call me when you get back. And when I got back, it was so late in the morning. I was tempted not to. And some of you fall for that. You see, you fall for that. The pastor said this. You are also saying something else. And then when they correct you, you are still not listening. It's like you are still trying to prove yourself right in that wrong. You see that? You are still trying to prove yourself right in that wrong. So many times, just keep quiet. Yeah, and learn. Look, I believe that we as a people and as a ministry, we have the world saying marriages are bad, marriages are wrong, marriages are bad. I believe we're going to have the best marriages because there are people that are going to be heeding to God's word. You see that? And best relationships with other people in our areas and other people in our homes. And best relationships with other people in our... I'm talking about any kind of relationship because you cannot assume the state of not being corrected every time. You can't say that I don't want to be corrected. At your office, you'll be corrected. Before your boss, you'll be corrected. In your home, you'll be corrected. Amongst your parents, you'll be corrected. So when correction comes in, you must be able to take it with all gladness of heart and say, thank you for correcting me. Don't see correction as the bit to pull you down and make you insignificant. Corrections always make you better. Every single time, they make you better. So when somebody corrects you, don't feel like the person doesn't like you. The person actually likes you. That's why they correct you. I said this, if I don't care about anybody, I don't take time correcting them. I could see what you're doing and hail you like, wow, that's beautiful. I mean, just go ahead. You're doing well. Just continue. That's because I know when I correct you, you are still not going to listen. So there is no need of putting out correction to somebody who never listens to corrections. So one of the signs that you are proud is that you resist corrections. Many of the times it's a real testament of maturity to actually admit and be corrected in a certain way. One of the interesting things I had with my mom when I was young, when I go to wear a dress, oh my goodness. Go and change the shirt. You go and change the shirt and come. Change this, your sandals. It's not looking good at all. Then you go and change it and come. Go and iron your jeans. Your jeans is not. Somebody who cannot take correction. Ah, why? I know what I'm about. I can see myself in the mirror again. Ah, okay. Sorry for left. You can go. Until you now go outside and somebody says, hey, this your trouser is not good at all. Then you are now there. I should have listened to my mother. I should have listened to my father. Because you never listened. So sometimes, just learn how to take corrections. Yeah? Learn how to be corrected. And don't determine how the correction comes in. Don't say that he should have corrected me calmly. And that's somebody who still cannot take correction because he is proud in the fact that he has been rebuked sharply. He wants you to say, you know, President of Ghana, you are the most important thing in the world. You are the best thing that ever happened to us. Please be corrected. Eh? And this now the correction. Here is my submission. Thank you. Then we start laying out submissions to you because you are queen of the coast. Yeah. So, receive. Anytime something comes in, receive. Embrace the truth. Even when it reveals your mistakes, right? It's a step towards building authenticity, you know, and great improvement. So the next time correction comes your way, consider it as an opportunity to grow rather than a threat to your ego. See it as an opportunity to grow rather than it being a threat to your ego. Look at how many years of my life I've spent with you. You must be really crazy to think I don't want the best for you. I mean, that's totally crazy. Have you thought about it before? That's really... I mean, to the fact that I give a correction, you think I don't want you to be fine. I hate you. How? Why? Why is that so? Why should you see it so? Pasa doesn't want me to shine. Ah. I want you to shine for Christ. I don't want you to shine in your own way. So you must begin to see correction as a way to grow. Yeah? Learn to take corrections. The ladies, learn to take corrections. Bible says that the husband is the head of the home. It means he's your leader. Learn to take corrections. When he says, I don't like this, don't do it. Well, that's not what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Feminist. I said, this place, we don't have that here. If you think like that, you are in the wrong ministry. It's either you change your mind by the teachings that come daily, or you find a church that endorses your feminism. We don't do feminism here. We do Bible. In fact, the actual, you know, Greek meaning of the word husband is Lord. Similarly to master. So he's Lord, somebody who lords. And that's why the Lord will have to laugh. Right? The Lord laughs. And then the one that receives the laugh submits to the laugh back. That's how it is. And then they both submit one to themselves. That's the whole contextual meaning. So the husband loves, the woman submits, and they both submit one to themselves. That's what Paul is saying. That's what we do. Tonight I wash the plate. He must wash the plate tomorrow night. Okay. Oh. Go and ask them. They'll tell you. Marriages doesn't even stay for 1 year. 6, 7, 8 months, they're already fighting. 1 year, 2 months, they are divorced. They're back to their nonsense again. So don't let any lady who has had anything to do with a broken home convince you. Eh? When they break theirs, then they come to spoil yours. Don't allow them. When they break theirs, then they come to recruit you into joining them to be part of people that your homes are broken. Unless you marry you, let me not say this one. So pride rejects correction. Yeah. So when I correct you, how do you take it? Do you take it like I don't like you, or I'm hard on you specifically, or what do you call it? What do you call it? There could be so many reasons. No. When corrections come, you take them nicely. And remember, in this season, we are going to be fruitful. Amen. We're going to be fruitful. So we are going to humble ourselves so that God can really help us. Again, when correction comes, consider it an opportunity to grow. I think our fifth, pride tries to be different than others. Pride tries to be different than others. A proud man does not like to be identified as a number or in a number. No, he doesn't like that. Oh, they came here and Nana Kwame, he likes it like that. You can't just say, oh, they came here. He's not going to be happy. He needs to have a special kind of address and approach. And he tries to be different. When it comes to him, he likes to be unique. For his own sake, actually. When we all as a ministry say, we are wearing color white, you will find somebody that genuinely has color white say, no, I don't like color white. I like to wear color blue. Then the person is in color blue. So we are all praying today at this time. Person will say, no, I already pray at that time. So I have my own prayers, personal prayers. So they always would like to try to be different. When we are all lifting up our hands in worship, you will see that a proud fellow, he's not sick, he's not, there's nothing wrong with him. He's just not interested. We are praying fervently, he's not praying. Again, he's not sick, he's not hungry, he doesn't feel very weak or something. He just gets there and he's not doing that. So when you start seeing some of these things, fight them out of your life. Yes, fight them out of your life. They always want to be treated, you know, as the best of everything. And that's how come they are differentiated. They always like to say, I am the best apart from, I'm the, oh, is that, oh, is that, oh, is my, apart from, oh, this is me and the others. Oh, this is, I did it. And then the others also are also lingering in there. No. Listen, fight every trait of pride out of your life. Yes, fight every trait of pride, you know, out of your life. Don't seek human applause. If it's giving you, also humbly just accept it, but don't seek it. Don't seek to be noticed for anything that you do. They didn't acknowledge me. They didn't acknowledge me. Let me tell you something. When God honors you, it's a beautiful thing. I've seen myself go to places several times. And the situations around looked like I was being dishonored. And I didn't push for anything to happen. And suddenly, the way God honors me is amazing. When I say he honors me, it means that he just causes me to start benefiting of whatever I thought I would have lost. Yeah. And people start to take recognition of you. Meanwhile, you're not striving or struggling to be anything or to be anyone. That's God honoring you. But you see, a proud man will want to have it his own way. He has to be seen. If it's not about him, then everything should sink. So don't try to be different. When we say preach the same, preach the same. Preach the same. I'm telling you, it's just noise that we don't make as a ministry, CFI. We are doing a lot of work. I'm telling you, and there are many more being changed and many more being saved. Yeah. Just that we are not noisy. No. Yeah. So don't try to be different. If we're all in blue, all in blue, all in red, all in red. We're meeting here at this time, meeting there at that time. We're gathering here, we're here. Eh? Now that someone is saying that, no, it should be like this. No. We're singing, we're all singing. We're rejoicing, we're all rejoicing. We honor our pastor, we all honor our pastor. Sometimes you see someone honoring the pastor or someone, a leader, somebody who teaches, is that, why are you overdoing it? You don't say it out loud. You say it to yourself. And this person is overdoing it. Why is he all praying? You are the one not learning. Eh? You are the one not learning well. And very soon, as the years go by, it will be very clear those who have been learning and those who have not been learning. Because when you see those who have been learning, it will be very rigorous and intense. Yeah, you almost think that they are overdoing it. But that's how they have been. That's the training they gave themselves to. Yeah, you think it's very rigorous and intense. And it's overly done. But you are the one that did not learn. You say, honor, you didn't learn it. Fervency, you didn't learn it. It's just like a desk. You're not interested. You come, you do whatever you want to do. Then somebody else is taking it very seriously, doing it, becoming more fervent. Then you say that the person is doing it too much. And the funny thing is that the person is going to have more people they are discipling, more groups they are looking into, more venues they are filling, and having more meetings with other people. And you are just there saying, oh, yeah, this person there. You are the one that did not do it well. So it's an opportunity. This is the time where everybody should be learning. I'm telling you, there's a phase of this ministry. We will transition. Yes, we'll be learning, but we would have transitioned from actually, you know, learning some basic things. It's like there will be people who will now be teachers of the things that we have already learned. That's how it's going to be. There are people that are going to be teachers of the thing. So if you say, Anna, you see people that Charlie, their lifestyle itself is the honor that has been taught and is being taught. And fervency. Their lifestyle will be the fervency that has been taught and is being taught. The gifts of the Spirit. You see that their lifestyle becomes the gifts of the Spirit that we are teaching and the gifts of the Spirit that are being taught. So over time, you might think that, these people are overdoing it. No, you never give yourself to training. And so give yourself to training and not seek to be different. You see, as the years go by, you will see those who have actually sought not to be different. When you hear them, you will say, is that pastor teaching? Yes. When you hear, you say, is that pastor teaching? You will not almost believe it. Because they teach exactly. Yeah. And when they start to flow in the Spirit, they are flowing exactly. Yeah. And when they are laying hands exactly, and things are happening. You'll be wondering, is that pastor? Yes. That's because they have been trained over time. That's what happens in discipleship. It's like you've been trained over time. So this is the time where we give ourselves to it. Everybody the same. Let people come amongst our midst and say, hey, your people are the same. Everybody just acts the same. What a joy it will be that they can get to see that everybody acts the same. Man, everybody acts the same. Everybody relates the same. Everybody flows the same. Everybody honors the same. Everybody has a loving, warm heart the same. Like, there's this warmth that people should sense when they come around. But it comes with a series of training to humble people who will be giving to it. Humble people who will be giving to it. So let's continue. Let's not stop. Let's not get weary. Let's not get proud. While the teachings come, let's not get proud. Let's continue in the things we have heard. Let's commit them to also faithful people. Let's ensure that faithful people are hearing us. Ensure that people are listening to us. Let's ensure that we become the first examples of the very things that I have been teaching. We become the first examples. And we become the first examples. Let's ensure that that happens in our lives. That I am going to become the first example. First example of fervency. First example of ministry. First example of honor. First example of walking in love. Great examples must we become. I saw someone, and then we closed the meeting, and she put an earpiece, and she walked a distance away. The next meeting, with the moment to close, she put an earpiece, and she walked a distance away. And I said, no, I called her and said, see, that's not how to do it. When you do that, you are distinguishing yourself. Stay, talk, flow, Love the brethren. Be there. Don't dissociate yourself and segregate yourself. Don't be seen as not interested in what is happening. It shows a certain kind of a mind that you have. So we are together. Let's have that unity of heart, purpose, and will. And I believe strongly that God is going to empower us, and God has empowered us, and He will keep empowering us with His strength to fulfill what He's called us to do. You will not be unfruitful in the name of Jesus. You are becoming very fruitful in Jesus' name. Very fruitful. Because you will be humble to the Lord and you will receive His help from men. In the name of Jesus. The Lord's great grace will come upon you and it will cause you to do well. God will favor your every cause because you are His humble servant. Never see anything you do as a force such that it's like they are forcing you to do it. No. Never see it that way. See it as a privilege given you. See it as God giving you the opportunity. See it as God's mercy giving you. See it like that. Whenever you're called to do something, see it like that. Don't choose to be different. Yeah. Let me tell you something. It's the world that has a message of choosing to be different or daring to be different. The body of Christ doesn't have that. Yeah, the world has that. The body of Christ doesn't have that. The body of Christ is a systematic. The body of Christ has systematic rules, principles that we all must live by. So, we are already different in a very peculiar and a special way. So, there is not a need to be different in the difference that we have. So, don't choose to be different. No. As for me, I want to be different from what they are doing. I'm part of them, but those are things they do. We don't do. No. We are all the same. Remember in Acts, I showed you some time ago, in one accord. Yes. The church did everything in one accord. In oneness. Togetherness of heart. Just in one accord. Everyone. The same. If you saw Paul walking in love, you see it in Priscilla. You see it in Aquila. You see it in Apollos. You see it in Apostles. Peter, Mark, Luke. Bartholomew. You see it in Thaddeus. You see it in Matthias. You see it in all the disciples. Everybody had a similar character and a similar response to every issue. So we must also be same. When you come and you see us rejoicing, do same. It's in one accord. Amen.